you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Wow, that's a pretty big burden to lay on anyone. Before you were born, God called you to be a prophet to the whole world. Yikes. And the work God has in mind for Jeremiah is even more intimidating. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now, Jeremiah doesn't feel quite equal to that task. Who would? And so he argues with God. But in the end, he does what God asks of him. Actually, he never really stops arguing with God. He never stops saying, "You want me to do what?" And it turns out that God has something particularly difficult in mind for Jeremiah. God doesn't just want Jeremiah to speak on his behalf. God wants Jeremiah to tell his own people things they really don't want to hear. Jeremiah is to tell his people not just that they're screwing up and need to repent, but their repentance will not in any way spare them from the consequences of their faithlessness so far. Defeat, capture, and exile as slaves in Babylon is coming no matter what they do to prevent it. And nevertheless, they need to repent. You see, when God tells Jeremiah that he is appointed to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, it's Israel and Judah, not their enemies, who are going to get plucked up and pulled down and destroyed. If you read the whole book of Jeremiah, you'll see that his task never really ends. All through the saga of defeat and capture and exile and finally return, Jeremiah is exhorting his people that they need to repent, return to God, and accept the punishment that God has handed them. It's small wonder that another word for ranting and raving in English is Jeremiad. Now, Jeremiah's Jeremiads are not meant to be messages to us in our day. His prophecies are extremely specific to his particular time and situation. And while it's true that we all have the need to continually repent and turn towards God, Jesus actually gives us that message in much more useful ways and illustrates that call with signs of God's love and not God's wrath. So why am I even talking about Jeremiah today? Because I think that we can learn something from Jeremiah's calling, if not from his prophecies. So here's at least one thing worth reflecting on. God, who knows every one of us just as deeply as God knew Jeremiah, also has things in mind that we are needed to do. And just like Jeremiah, some of those things will surprise, baffle, or even terrify us. Just think for a minute about what happens when we baptize someone. When we baptize even a very small person, we pray for her and splash her with water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and make the sign of the cross on her forehead with scented olive oil that's been blessed by our bishop. And we say that she is sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Excuse me. And we do this not to make her Christ's own, but to show the world what was always true, that she has always belonged to God, because just like for Jeremiah, before God formed her in the womb, God knew her, and before she was born, God consecrated her, claimed her. And like Abraham Lincoln said on the fields of Gettysburg, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow any child. What God has done for her before she was even formed is truly far above our poor power to add or detract. But we don't know, of course, what great thing she's been formed for, what great thing she will be called to. Truth to tell, the great things that we were made for, the great things that we are called to, are still being revealed in our own lives. And like Jeremiah, when God does reveal them to us, we often argue and struggle against them. And sometimes we even just say no. God gives us that freedom, and it's one we exercise frequently. And when we do that, God, who loves us no matter how disobedient or willful or fearful or stubborn we are, just keeps on calling us, keeps trying to find things that we are willing to do to help God restore creation to the beauty and joy for which God intended it, for which God intended us. Now, some of the things that God calls you to are specific to who you are. But some of our callings are common to all of us. We are all, for instance, called to proclaim with both our words and our actions that we have heard God's call and are cheerfully doing the work that we've been called to. We are called, as our baptismal covenant says, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. We are all called to strive for justice and peace among all peoples, and to respect the dignity of every human being. But who knows how living up to those promises will play out in our individual lives? Will you be called to treat someone with kindness who has treated you badly? Will you be called to stand up to a bully, to run for public office, to battle against racism or for the environment, or maybe to teach and raise your children so that they will have the strength and courage and will to do these things themselves? People have done amazing and sometimes unimaginable things in the service of those ideals. People have still spoken when the powerful used their power to silence them, used their own resources and powers to try to make a change at the cost of their own well-being, laid down their lives in the service of others. And people have done seemingly small, maybe invisible things that were no less remarkable as well. Spoke a kind word into the darkness of someone else's life. Kept their thoughts to themselves when someone really needed a listener and not a counselor. Just got through the day when their own life seemed impossible. We never know in advance what God has claimed us for. And even when we have a very clear sense of calling to some particular action or path, we don't know what that will lead to or what it may cost us. Now, if that sounds like a message almost as gloomy as Jeremiah's exhortations to Israel and Judah, I certainly don't mean it that way. Because the truth is, while we don't know the cost when we set out, we do know the reward. We have been promised that if we walk this path, and even if we stray from it, God will be walking with us. We know both by God's promise and by our own experience that when we do hard things for God's sake, we may indeed suffer loss and pain, but we will also experience joy. Not happiness necessarily, not comfort, certainly not all the time, but the profound, unshakable joy that comes from knowing that God is beside us and that we are becoming what God intended and called us to be from the moment of our creation. Amen.